that you can get it all said at one particular time. But I want to read a few verses right here in Luke chapter number 2 and give you a few thoughts from it. We'll begin reading in verse number 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Didn't say Muhammad there, did it? This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and went to the shopping mall. Don't say that, does it? They came with haste and found Santa Claus. Sorry, kids. Well, you know, it's amazing what man has done with Christmas, isn't it? For a lot of folks, it's just a big party time. It's time to get drunk and go to a party, have fun. But to us that are saved, it ought to be a time of reverence and of thanksgiving for what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings of life, Lord, of this day. God, all that You do for us, Lord, we want to be careful, Lord, to bow our unworthy head, Lord, and say thank You for Jesus and for Your many blessings, Lord. Thank You for our church, Lord, and the body, God, You've assembled here. I pray Your blessings upon each and every one. God, we got people that's sick. We got people that's hurting, brokenhearted, Lord, and down and out. God, we pray for them tonight. Lord, You'd be our help and our joy. And I ask You, God, tonight, You'd help me in the good Word of God now, and You'd get honor and glory to Your name. I love You. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm interested in verse number 11. It says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glad He put that little word you in there, because it includes everybody. You know, I hadn't even got a title written down here. I couldn't really get settled on one, but, you know, maybe it would be the first Christmas night, or the Christ of Christmas, or perhaps the greatest gift ever given would be a good title. I don't know, but I just want to look at this story for a little bit tonight and try to focus on what Christmas really, really is. And first of all, tonight I want you to notice right here the manger scene. It's amazing how God brought Christ into the world and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet He was born in a lowly manger, a place there where there was no room found for Him in the inn. This manger scene right here, I want you to notice some things about the manger. This manger, the trough of this manger, isn't it amazing that the place of the birth was Bethlehem, which means house of bread? Isn't it amazing that as Mary gave birth to the Christ child, that she wrapped Him in swaddling clothes? The Bible says she laid Him in a manger. This manger was a place where it would have been like a cave back in the side of a hill, a place where shepherds would bring their flocks into at night and would see after them and care for them and feed them there in this place and keep them safe from danger there. And God had Mary to come to this place and bring her child into a manger there. And it's amazing to me that she wrapped Him in swaddling clothes and laid Him in a feed trough right there, for a place where the animals had fed and ate out of. But then I got to thinking about this thing, and I got to thinking about what Christ said one day when He stood up and He said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life that's come down from heaven." Hey, listen to what He said now. "If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." Hey, that's why God had Him in that trough right there, friend. It's a sign, friend, that He's available to all of everybody that hungers and everybody that thirsts for salvation. They can be fed. They can be satisfied with the Lamb of God. Ain't you glad that He sent Him into this world? Ain't you glad that He come to save that which was lost, friend? Jesus is the bread of life. He's the bread of life then. He's the bread of life today, friend. He's the one that's seeing after the door of the sheep. He declared over in John chapter number 10, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd will give His life for His sheep." The trough in this manger, the Lord God of heaven, what a lowly birth that He had. It's amazing, isn't it? How God sent His Son into the world to save fallen man. What a lowly, lowly birth that He had. Not only the trough of the manger in this manger scene, but the thoughts of Mary. Verse number 19 says, "Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." You ever thought about what went through her mind? She was visited by the angel Gabriel, and he told her these things were going to come to pass. He told her that she was going to conceive by that of the Holy Ghost, and the child that would come forth from her would be called the Son of the Highest, would be called the Son of God. He would be called the Savior of the world. Yet she knew all the time she was virtuous. She knew all the time that she was a virgin. She knew as she gave birth to the Christ child that she had never known a man, that she was that virtuous and that pure of a woman. That's amazing. She pondered these things in her heart. In chapter number 1, in verse 38, the Bible says, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She made a vow. She believed God. She believed it was going to come to pass just like He said. And it did. Well, I wish we could have that kind of faith. Don't you? She believed God. Now notice with me the thoughts of Mary here. In Luke chapter number 1 in verse 32 and 33. The angel speaking to her said this, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Listen to this now. "And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Sounds like he's going to be a king, don't it? "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Yet here, God has brought her to Bethlehem, no room in the inn, found a place out in a lowly manger, and she brings forth the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She has nothing but swaddling clothes to wrap him in, and she lays him in a feed trough, pondering these things in her mind. Listen, he was not born in a king's palace, and yet the angel said he's going to be the son of the highest. He's going to give him the throne of his father David. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there will be no end. Yet he wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a stable, in a manger. He was not clothed in royal attire. All she had was swaddling clothes to wrap him in. No clothing of purple to show his royalty. As a matter of fact, the swaddling clothes was a type of material that they used to wrap dead folks in. Burial clothes. Oh, listen to me. He didn't receive a king's crown. But one day, his mother that gave birth to him, that was promised that he was going to receive a kingdom that would be everlasting, she stood at the foot of a cross and saw her son with a plank above him there with it written on him, King of the Jews. And he had a crown of thorns placed upon his head there. Oh my. He didn't receive a king's crown. He was not lifted up on an earthly throne, but he would be lifted up on a cross one day. God had it all in His great plan that He might bring many sons to glory. Sons to make us to be sons of God. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. The things that was going through Mary's mind. But listen, the first coming of Christ. If you look at this, it was probably as humble a birth that anybody could have had to be born out in a manger. Yet He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His humble birth, friend, but listen to me, friend, there's coming a day when He's coming again. And He's not coming as a lowly shepherd, a lowly one. He's coming as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. If you look over in Revelation chapter number 19, John said, I saw heaven opened, and he saw a white horse. And the one that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head sat many crowns. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. They crowned him with thorns. They crowned him with thorns. But he was still God. There are those today that would crown him again with thorns. But I crown him King. I crown him Lord tonight. And I thank him for the price that he paid for you and I. This manger scene, the trough, the thoughts, but the truths of the mystery. In 1 Timothy chapter number 3, let's read a couple of verses over there. Notice in verse number 15, he said, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, listen now, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. People ought to be able to hear the truth when they come to the house of God, shouldn't they? He says in verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's sort of the gospel in a summary there. But the truth of the mystery, friend, of this manger scene, friend, God was laying there in that trough. A little baby that he couldn't speak. And yet one day He spoke this world into existence. Isn't that amazing? I wonder, as Mary pondered and thought upon this child there, the little hands that she saw there, and the things that she'd been told. I can't imagine what was going through her mind. But those little hands of that Christ child were the mighty hands that measured the waters of this world, the Bible says, in the palm of His hand. The one that laid in that manger was the ones that meted out the heavens in a span. The one that holds everything together today. This little child. His little hand. You ever notice a lot of folks, when they pick up a little baby, that baby will go to moving their hands. It makes you want to touch their hands, don't it? And they'll grab your finger and they'll hold on to it. Little hands, the little hands of God. I'm glad He reached His hand toward me one day. Little hands, but loving hands. Christ would grow up as the Son of God, and He began His ministry. He went about doing good for everybody that was in need. Nobody came to Him that He ever refused. He's the one that reached out and touched the leper, the one that was unclean, that nobody wanted to even get close to. But Christ would reach out and He would touch them and He would heal them. He'd touch the blind and give them their sight back. Hey, there was nothing that He wouldn't do or couldn't do for anybody. He had loving hands. What a Savior. But one day on Calvary's cross, He had lifted hands. Nailed there with outstretched hands. Good position. I believe today when Christ is wooing somebody to come, it's almost as if He has those nail-scarred hands still outstretched, begging lost sinners to come. To come. Secondly, not only the manger scene, but the mercy for sinners. Verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These shepherds are a good picture of you and me before we're saved. You see, they was out in darkness. The darkness of night. That's where we were. In darkness, in blindness, no hope without God unless He'd come to us, give us light. And I'm glad He does that for lost sinners. These shepherds, friend, they sat in darkness. In Isaiah chapter number 9, in verse 2, the Bible says, the people that walked in darkness have seen great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Well, I'm glad He shined a light on my darkened heart one day. Hey, I wasn't looking for Him. I was in darkness. I was enjoying the dark. But He shined the light of the glorious gospel upon me. He showed me I was lost. He showed me I was headed to a devil's hell. And hey, it made me thirsty. I wanted Him. Thank God He wanted me. He delivered me. The shepherd's darkness, the shepherd's depravity. As I was studying this and reading, they said that shepherds were sort of an outcast in society. They were ceremonially unclean. And yet they said they probably were raising some of the little old lambs that were used for sacrifices. But you know, I got to thinking, well, that's kind of like us. As a lost person, friend, we were outcast, aliens, separated from God, no hope in the world. But you'll notice that the very first ones that the message of the Christ child came to were those that sat in darkness, were those that were depraved, and those that were outcasts, friend, just like you and I, friend. God had mercy upon them because they were just poor old sinner boys under the despair and sentence of death. Boy, if the world, if lost sinners could just see their condition. You know, when I was lost, I was, and God convicted me of my sins. It seemed to me like, I mean, I was surrounded by the fear of death and the fear of hell. For 2 weeks, when God really, really poured conviction on me, I was a miserable, miserable human being. Seemed like death was reaching out and just almost grabbing me, and hell was waiting on me. But it was the hand of God just drawing me to Him. Oh, listen to me. There's mercy for sinners today. You see in this verse right here, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. He knows how to scare folks. And to think about falling into the hands of a living God, it ought to scare people. It ought to scare saved people. Amen. Not only the manger scene, the mercy for sinners, but lastly this, the message that was shared. You'll find, friend, that he said, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." This little phrase, good tidings right here, means the gospel. He said, "I bring you the gospels, gospel of great joy, which shall be to all people." What a message that was delivered there. The message that was shared, it was the fulfilling of prophecy. You see, Christ, back through the Old Testament, friend, I found a lot of different opinions, friend, but there's hundreds of different prophecies of types and shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ that God had promised and prophesied that He was coming into this world. And on this very day, this very night, it came to pass just like God had promised. And can I tell you, God's promises are still true today. God's promised one of these days He's coming after you and me that are saved, and His promises are still true. His promises still stand. He's still coming just like He said. Better get ready to meet Him. Don't be left behind. The message shared was a fulfilling of prophecy, but it was a fix for a problem. You see, back in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it plunged all mankind into depravity, in sin, in a lost condition, and needed a Savior in their life. One that could reach up to God, and one that could reach down to man and reconcile man unto God. And thank God Jesus is the one that did that very thing on Calvary's cross when He shed His last blood and paid the price to reconcile and ransom you and I. Get us back to God. The only hope. Hey, I heard today on the radio that the Pope says there's many ways to get to heaven. He's reaching out to all the religions of the world, is what he was doing. Trying to bring everybody together, friend. But let me tell you, there's only one way. One mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. He paid the price to bring us back to God. The message that was shared, the fulfilling of prophecy, the fix for man's problem. But I like this, friend. The floodgates of praise was then opened. The hope of mankind was birthed into this world. In a lowly manger, He came into this world and He began to walk among men, and He walked to the cross and He gave His life a ransom for all mankind. Well, listen to me. The floodgates of praise were opened that day. Notice this. the angels begin to praise Him. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men." They didn't even need a Savior. And they thought He was worthy of praise. How much more should we be appraising Him? We were the one that needed Him. We were the one that were lost. We were the one that's needed to be reconciled to God. We needed to be forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we ought to be the ones that's praising Him from day to day in our lives. Hey, can I tell you something? He could have stepped right past you. You could be in hell tonight, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth with all the wicked, wicked demons of hell and people that have died wickedly and gone into a place called hell, separated from God forever and forever and forever, friend. But you're saved, and one day you'll end up in God's heaven. I say, we the ones that ought to be opening the floodgates of praise and thanksgiving for what He's done for us. The manger scene, the mercy for sinners, the message that was shared. Still thinking about that title. The greatest gift that's ever been given. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mary wrapped Him in swaddling clothes, laid Him in a manger. Man took Him and killed Him. Joseph of Arimathea took Him. He wrapped Him in grave clothes, placed Him in a borrowed tomb. But can I tell you what happened on that resurrection morning? He was unwrapped. He was unwrapped. He's our hope tonight. Hey. The grave can't hold me. The grave can't hold me. Child of God, the grave can't hold you. Death can't keep you. We'll pass from death to life, friend. Hey, we may close our eyes and the doctor may say he's dead, friend, but let me tell you, we'll be more alive than we've ever been in the presence of God Almighty because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift that God unwrapped. When they went and looked in the tomb, they saw them grave clothes laying there, unwrapped. The greatest gift ever given was given to you, to me, to all mankind. Oh, if folks would just receive Him. He's there. To as many as received Him, you got to receive Him though. God unwrapped Him, said, "Now take Him if you want Him. Take Him if you want Him. Won't cost you nothing. He'll give you eternal life." Eternal life. What a Savior we have. Let's remember Him this Christmas season. It's all about Him. Don't let the hustle and bustle of things push Him out of your life in this season. Stand with me.